you guys ever had an experience with truly radical, like, out of their mind political fanatics?
Oh my god.
On the daily, yeah.
I'd say so.
I'm on Twitter, so yeah.
I know, but like, someone you personally know. So
it's called X, Jake.
I'm not.
So I would say that my personal sphere is mostly libs and mostly normies. I have a couple people in my circle that are pretty conservative, whatever. I don't really care. But I was really in my feels the other day, just because I was all riled up, and I got on Facebook, which is a terrible idea. And there I found a pair of two of my best friends' retired dads, and my god, the things that they post are wild. So yeah. Because I was in my feels, I decided to argue with them.
No.
Because all they do is they're retired and they just sit around on Facebook and spread misinformation and say out of pocket things, and it's not even just like politically right-leaning, it's like batshit crazy stuff.
Like, yeah,
crackpot stuff, basically.
Yeah, it's like they're the quintessential just retired boomer that has totally been brain rotted by the internet. And I don't really have many people in my life that I interact with a lot that are like that. But I was in I was in a certain mood. I started arguing with them. It's wild, the things that they replied to me with. I won't even say it, but... for the first dad, I kind of went at him I was pretty snide. I was like, I knew he wasn't going to like argue in good faith with me, so I just kind of said what I wanted to say, and he said a bunch of stupid shit back, and I was like, all right, cool. And then, so on the other one, it was a dad I kind of had a little more respect for, and so I tried to like appeal to his humanity. I was like, I'm not even going to state my opinions. I'm just going to state a bunch of facts, because you are sharing a Babylon Bee article as if it is fact. And and I was just like, maybe you don't know some of this stuff, and you are sharing satire, and you are clearly believing the satire. So I said a bunch of things, and then also I replied, and I don't know if you know, Babylon Bee is a satirical newspaper. I didn't know if you knew that, but
yeah,
it's satire. It's like The Onion. It's quite funny. And
if Babylon Bee, it's posts some of the funniest shit. Like they're pretty annoying sometimes, but sometimes they come out of left field with just an absolute banger. And I go to Hannah and I'm like, you have to see this Babylon Bee article. I've just pissed myself.
Their religious satire is fantastic.
It always hits so funny. It's yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like, actually, Babylon Bee is one of the handful of like conservative comedy like outlets that I actually find pretty funny.
I feel like their jokes are pretty good. They don't take themselves too seriously. They never take themselves too seriously, which is the first step in comedy.
So yeah, so I said a bunch of like just like facts. I said like I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I love you. I've known you for a very long time. Said a bunch of just straight facts, no opinions. I left all opinions out of it, and then I was just like, "Hope you don't take this as an attack." Just you were sharing satire, and I wanted to talk. And then he said something that was like almost incoherent in return. And then he replied to me about the Babylon Bee thing, which was my second comment. And he said, "He was like, I didn't know that, and I don't care."
That's Lamar at this point.
That's the problem.
Wow.
Actually, I think what he said was even worse than that. It was like, it was ridiculous. But he did say, I could care less. He was like, it doesn't matter, and I could care less. And I'm just like, cool.
All right.
Self-reflection, what's that taste like?
No.
So yeah, this was I don't experience firsthand a lot of... like insane conspiracy theorists in my personal life. I see it on Twitter all the time, but I don't know those people.
Yeah.
This was wild. I don't think I'm going to interact with them anymore, because I don't want the algorithm to show them to anybody else by implying that someone's interested in the things that they post. But the two of them sit on Facebook all day, and no lie, they will post like 25 memes a day.
Whoa.
Yeah, they post all day long. Like, it's insane how online my friends' old dads are. I'm like, my dad can barely log on to his email.
Invite him to the Discord.
Right, right.
Hey, show them Halo or something. Maybe that'll get them do something actually productive.
Set up a Twitch channel called Grandpa Streams or something.
Dude, don't get me started. There's that Vietnam vet who streams and is just an expert sniper, and it's
oh, I know. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, awesome. That guy's awesome. Yeah, he was the one that people were like, "Why aren't you taking the high ground on stuff if you've done sniping?" And he was like because that leaves you as a silhouette, which is very easily recognizable. And everybody was like, "Oh, you do know what you're doing."
Dope. Is this like an old vet playing a video game?
Yeah, he's like playing Battlefield or something. He's just tearing people up and loving life.
I think I've seen one of those guys, but they were like a fighter pilot, and they play like World War II simulators, and they like, and they do like, you know, fucking World War II planes, and they're really good at it.
See, old people with hobbies is far better.
Yeah, World War II vets who play video games are awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
World War II vets who listen to this podcast, I think, are pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
Hey, you should join the Discord.
Invite your grandpa to listen to the Dragon Punch Squad.
Get him on Facebook. Get him onto the DPS.
Get him in our Discord.
Whoa. One step at a time, Jake.
No. More Discord.
But then they transfer all their Facebook memes into our memes. I don't want to mod all that.
Tim, I'm looking at a ban button in Discord right now.
So you tell them to join and then you ban them. Let's just let them listen to the podcast. They'll get infused with the satanic panic that is role playing games.
Speaking of, there was this girl in my youth group that I was talking to, and she said that her mom is still in the like satanic panic, like thing. And I'm like,
oh, it's back, baby.
Yeah, and I'm like, your mom's not much older than me. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's come back. No,
I don't think it ever went away. I just think it was Harry Potter for a while.
It was.
Well, it did.
And Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tim and his family were told that Pokemon were satanic.
No.
Harry Potter.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Hannah has a very funny story where I think they were trading Pokemon cards or something. I don't remember if this was like a youth retreat or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But this woman came up and she saw that one of the types in Pokemon is psychic.
Yeah.
And then this woman said this woman said, "You know psychics are real, right?" And then Hannah was like, "What?" Mind you, she's like 13, 14. Right.
Well, another thing that was on my mind was, I got thinking the other day, I don't remember, I was watching a YouTube video, and it made me start thinking about how we've been doing this podcast for like 7 years now, and there's just like a massive, incomplete biography of all of our lives for the past 7 years on the internet. And I was like,
"Yeah,
what if an AI consumed our podcast and then wrote biographies about us? That'd be wild. I would love to know what it spat out. I might actually ask AI to listen to our episodes and see, and write a biography of me. I want to know.
I feel like this is a really good time to tell you guys where I've been all this time while, you know, I haven't been on the show. I've been in Ukraine running Black Ops with an elite force. You know, I've been there for a while. Like, I can't talk too much about it, but, like, just so you know, like, that's where I've been. And you know, I'm out there doing the Lord's work, so.
Well, it's good you told us that when the AI consumes this episode, it will start to find you in Ukraine.
Nothing would be cooler if you AI searched me and it just comes up as Black Ops operative in Ukraine. Oh, God.
36 kills.
Well, that's the reason why we don't see Jed right now on camera.
That's right.
Because AI actually took over, and that's actually not Jed. That's Jed.ai.
Jed's in Kiev right now.
I'm in Kiev. I am the ghost of Kiev, by the way, in case you were wondering.
Shout out to the ghost of Kiev, actually. I'm pretty sure they got shut down.
So speaking of like the biography of our lives, if you know, if you're listening to this episode, you already know that the first like 10 or so minutes is just kind of us just, you know, shooting the poop, just talking it up. So I tell people who I like met recently, I'm like, you know, if you want to learn more about me than you'd ever care to learn, just listen to the first 10 minutes of this podcast. That's it.
It's like we could make small talk, or you could just hear, you know, 7 years of 10-minute snippets of small talk that I've had with my friends.
Taco Bell, Muppets, and Peeps. I mean...
That's our entire podcast. Oh, and Tim breaking into places because he has a kid. And he's like, oh, sorry, I have a kid. I can walk in places.
Light trespass.
Which reminds me, Tim, I need to talk to you about recruiting you to my Black Ops unit. So. Talk to me after the podcast, please.
Putting together a team.
You, you have my digitally secure signal chat.
We're breaking into the Kremlin. Let's do it.
You know, that's how I make all my war plans. Just through signal.
The KGB is listening to this podcast intently now.
Wait, so, like Jake's like, so they've had a huge uptick of listeners. People must really like this content.
Oh my god, it's crashing the servers.
The algorithm's going to push the podcast to Ukraine now.
I wonder how many people actually listen in Ukraine.
I'd like to know. Check.
He's looking at analytics.
Yeah, right. I am. Yeah.
Speaking nothing of Ukraine, you guys. Finished
leveled up.
Woo! Yeah, leveled up. You leveled
yeah.
up. Actually, I thought about this. So I had some notes for the start of this podcast. Is that I didn't actually like introduce what your characters are. So this adventure starts at level 3. So they're all level 3. They're from Trunau. And after the last adventure, I had a couple of thoughts on how this was going to go. I'm actually going to retcon a little bit of it. So. I said that the farmhouse happened in the morning on the day that you would enter the town. I have decided that that actually happened in the evening and you will rest one more time before going into town because I am showing mercy on you. And I used spells that I think you'll need.
Thank you, Elemental GM.
This is the last mercy you will get from me. As I said, I am not merciful.
I'm not merciful. Here's a mercy.
What's so funny is you said that was a retcon, but coming into today, I thought that was what actually happened. So, you know?
You thought that we were going to sleep again?
No, I thought that we had, for some reason.
I don't know why I thought that. I was intending for you to go into the town from that barn. Like, that was going to be pretty close to the outskirts of town. But I'm going to say it still was, but you actually got there in the evening, and it does not make sense for you to descend into the town yet.
Right. Yeah, I probably just like snuggled up in the corpse of the cow or something, you know.
Sure. There were two other completely clean rooms.
I may not sleep in that building at all based on the smell.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
while we're retconning things, I am going to retcon my accent and start afresh with my character's voice because I could not lock one in last sentence.
I'm retconning that as well. And this is just a full disclosure. So aside from doing a live recorded podcast, I don't have a lot of time to practice TTRPGs in my personal life. So I will be live learning an Irish accent. So it's going to start out terrible. And hopefully by the end of it, it's something that I don't cringe too much listening back.
There's all of our Irish listeners.
Always, we're taking this journey
always Tim, whenever you do it, look at Kelly and see if you've offended him or not.
That's why I'm choosing it. I have direct feedback.
I'm about as Irish as Irish spring soap.
It was really funny when after this this past Sunday at church, Jake comes up to me. He was like, "How'd you get your Scottish accent so good?" I was like, "I watched Outlander, bro.
Great show."
I took that and started watching like Vikings and Last Kingdom this week. just trying to listen to all the accents, and they're all different. None of them are the same.
I can't lock in on one, so
it'll probably change six times tonight. But we'll see what happens.
I'm just exclusively listening to Dungeons and Discourse on YouTube. She's Irish. She makes TTRPG news.
Yeah.
What else? That's
a good way to do it, yeah.
I need to finish Outlander. I think I watched like five seasons of it, but I never finished it. It's a great show.
Yeah, I only watched the first season because it was hard to get through for Hannah. So
the end of that season is nuts. It's one of the most awful things ever.
Yes, it truly is. To bring it back to Ukraine, in the entirety of our podcast, we've had 23 downloads.
Oh, nice. Well, shout out to you, right. 23 Ukrainian listeners, if you're still listening this far.
Shout out to you all on the front lines.
The one guy who listened to 23 episodes and was like, that's dumb. I'm not doing
that. I mean, they have things to worry about over there. Yeah. So.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
They do. So anyway, you guys bed down for the night, get your spells back, and like I said, the rain is starting to pick up. It started more as like a mist, and there's kind of like wet and damp for most of this trip. But after you get through this barn, it starts to pick up more. You start down this road, and it starts to descend down into the valley. The road is wet, the rain is steady, and the way is very narrow, and the path is actually starting to look pretty worn and a little bit dangerous. It's probably going to take you a couple of hours to even get down this path into this valley. Ooh. And I'm going to need all of you, while you're descending this, to roll an athletics check.
Oh! Ha! No!
That's what I'm good at.
Shut up.
Did you train an athletics wizard?
Nope.
He's not the flex wizard, all right.
Can I
He's not getting muscle picking up tunes.
I didn't get a bonus. Just a fly roll.
Wow.
Look, I literally delivered mail for a living before this.
All right, well, I'll let you go last. Tim.
All right.
What is Corbin's... Corbinian's athletics roll.
Corbinian has a +2 to athletics, so I got a gentleman's 8.
Okay. And how about the half iron?
The half iron rolled an 18.
Okay. Ooh. And Theron?
24.
Nice.
Okay. And last but not least.
All right, so Kelly.
Okay.
Is there any way... Listen, is there any way I could use a rope to assist in any way?
No, this is not involved.
Okay. Alrighty.
Wait. Doesn't involve climbing, but okay.
You're not like climbing the thing. The path is really narrow, rocky, and wet, and uneven. So, like, sure, you're climbing over things, but you're not like climbing down a cliff.
Yeah,
like a patch of rope.
So a 3. Okay. A 3 is what I got.
Woof. Okay.
Yep.
You critically fail.
You die.
So you will take some damage, some slashing damage as you're making your way down this trail, and you and Corbinian are going to, at some point, you're gonna slip, you're gonna like roll down the trail a little bit, you're gonna get cut up on some rocks. Edmund takes a particularly bad fall at some point during this run. So Corbinian, I'm gonna give you your damage first.
Can I perform an action here?
Yeah. I was about to say, like, could the two dwarves help them at all? Because I mean,
I have a thing.
The thing is that both of them failed enough that even an aid wouldn't help.
What about an ability?
What do you got?
If he's rolling down the hill, I would like to trace a rune in the air, which takes 2 actions, if I have time for it,
okay,
to cast Zork's Rune of Homecoming.
Tell me about Zork's Rune of Homecoming.
Yeah, so it's 2 actions to trace the rune, and then 1 action to invoke it. So it'd be a full turn to do this. But basically, I would trace the rune in the air. It has a range of 30 feet. This circular mark is meant to allow travelers to find their way home. The target gains a 15-foot status speed to as long as he's moving back towards me. But then if I cast the invocation, which is where I speak the rune into existence, the rune bearer is called to my side instantly as if it was teleported to a square adjacent. So if he started rolling down the hill, I would cast the rune on him and teleport him back to me.
Okay. What I'll let you do with that is reduce the critical fail to a fail.
Cool. Fair enough. He still slips down. That's fine. He's not rolling as fast.
Yeah, so,
thanks, Jid.
Yeah, so,
trying to save him.
I actually really like that. So you thinking quickly, Edmund's about to take like a really bad fall. He's probably in the middle of the party somewhere, so it makes sense that you, or Edmund and Corbinian, were kind of in the middle, while Theron and Half Iron are taking up the front and the rear. You're kind of keeping an eye on them because they're clearly not good on their feet, at least for this sort of task. And yeah, Edmund, I will reduce that from a critical fail to a fail.
Nice.
So there is the damage for Corbinian was 13. Rolled pretty well on those 2d8.
Oh, 2d8.
Yeah, rolled a 7 and a 6. So, unlucky for Corbinian. Let's see what Edmund takes. 12. I rolled pretty well on you, too.
Yeah.
Would have been 24.
What? Would have been 24. You guys ever see the... Mark, what game was it? It was one of the Tomb Raider games that came out, like, 6 or 7 years, but like Lara Croft would die in like horrific ways.
Was like the reboot.
Yeah. She's like, there's one part where she's like going down the river, and if you don't do the quick time event, like she just gets impaled with a branch.
The animation too. You're like,
it's really unnecessary. But
see, in my head, I was imagining Andy Samberg from Hot Rod rolling down that hill for an extended period of time.
Oh. Tomb Raider was one of the first games I had on the original PS1, and that game was so frustrating because it was pretty hard, and it didn't have almost any soundtrack. So you would just be wandering around in complete silence in a cave, and then a bear would just appear out of darkness and maul you to death. And you'd be like, fuck!
Yeah, tigers.
Might be like one little like strum of a violin. It's like something's happening, and then you turn around. Just,
yeah,
like bear dead.
Yep.
Come on. So like but you were in complete silence for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys get down, not unscathed, but you eventually make your way down this town. At this point, as you're getting to the bottom, torrential rain. It is, at this point, hard to see. This rain is particularly bad. And you will take a -1 circumstance penalty to all perception checks made to spot things for every 20 feet of distance.
Ooh.
Okay. To a maximum of -4.
Gosh. Okay.
No more creatures more than 60 feet away from you are concealed automatically.
That means we're concealed usually as well.
Yeah. I mean, that can work for us here, but... I guess that this brings up a question then. I have a crystal. If it becomes very, very difficult to see what I would like to do, I'm going to take out a crystal from my bag, and I hold it in my hands, and I whisper something to it, and then there's a tiny threaded basket hanging from the tip of my hat, and I put it in there, and the crystal begins to glow. So it's Everlight Crystal. So it glows bright light constantly in a 20-foot radius, and dim light for the next one. So if that helps at all, I know it's rain. I know sometimes even super heavy rain, like your headlights don't help. But if that helps at all, I will leave it up unless somebody thinks otherwise.
Well, as you're going down to this town, it starts to come into view. And like I said, torrential rain, hard to see. But I'm going to go ahead and change the scene here.
Ooh.
And you guys should be in...
I think before we get too much deeper, I think I'd want to try to, like, treat wounds.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, this descent was over 2 hours, so...
Okay.
Like, it's about noon now. So you left in the morning, it took you almost until lunchtime to get down here. So you guys can definitely heal up. I'm not even going to make you roll for it. But yeah, so you guys get down here, and the town starts to come into view. And can you all see up in the top corner? I have a little icon for the party.
Yep.
All of you should be able to move it. And this is obviously a big map for exploration. I have it mostly fogged out. for your vision. But I can also, but I can describe things that you see in the distance that are concealed in its shadow. So immediately in front of you, you see a couple of houses that are pretty clear to see. They're, you know, over 150 feet away, but you guys can see that they're clearly small houses. Jake, your crystal will most likely come in handy in any houses that are not built. And from your view of the town, you're coming in from above, you're descending into this valley. You don't see any lights. You just see black shadows of buildings in the rain. So before you guys make any decisions on where you want to start going, it's a single road that leads down into this valley, down into this town. A couple of things that you guys can make out, but not clearly. Directly to the west of where the party icon is now, you see that there is a bit of a hill. So it raises up a bit from the rest of the town. And you can see what looks like a pretty large structure. Much bigger than the ones that are directly kind of on your way through this road. But there's a bigger structure, probably like a manor, you would guess by the shape of it. Directly in front of you, you guys see on the road like 3 to 4 normal looking houses. Nothing super distinct about them, but you can kind of investigate them as you go by. If you're looking a little bit beyond that manor, there's up on the hill, you think you might see what looks like a body of water. Small body of water.
Okay. A lake.
Or like a pond, I would say.
Pond.
You down to the southwest. Probably right in the middle. Can you guys see my ping? I don't know if you can actually see the ping.
Let me zoom out.
Yeah, let me zoom out first. And
the fog.
I think it disappears behind the fog.
Yeah, I think the fog I have on here.
Oh, I just saw it at the. I saw it around here at the edge.
You can see it in the reveal area. But anyway.
Okay.
You can kind of see if this road continues straight. In the same direction from what you guys can see so far. And if you continue down to the southwest, you can see another pretty large structure that looks like it's probably at the center of town. And that's about as far as you can see and make anything out from here. You can tell that there's more town if you continue southwest down this road, but you really can't make out whether it's trees or whether it's more big buildings. You'll just have to explore. But you can see 2 large buildings, one directly to the west, one at the southwest, which looks like at the town center. You can see that body of water, and then there's a number of houses along this road.
Okay, remind me of who was the woman we were looking for?
You are looking for Jakara. Or Jakara.
Jakara. Did it indicate where she was in this town? Like, was she staying at the manor?
She would not be staying at a manor. She was a citizen of this town.
Okay.
You would probably have to search the houses for where she is. And look for clues of a wizard lived here.
Yeah.
Books, ravens, feathers, things like that.
Alright, so, Edmund takes out a fresh pack of cigarettes. Packs it, flips the lucky one, and then he takes the first one, and he's just like, first house? And kind of motions to everybody, like, you ready?
The half-iron will take his shield off his back, kind of hold it over your head, so you can light your cigarette. Hi, let's go.
Alright, that's cool. So you guys are going to move down to the first little grouping of houses and investigate the first house.
Yeah, so it looks like a shed compared to the next 2 houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I had a purple whole bunch. Okay.
It's more like a hill. Yeah, it's like a shack. Pretty much, it's a shack. You're like, man, look at these.
Well, this person's poor. They're middle class. No. They can sign up for the Books for Farmers.
Right.
But
they can't read.
We'll tell them what it says.
The BFF program.
The scene? This is the scene.
Ooh, oh dear.
Alright, are you on a small map with a little house on it?
Yep.
I think so, at least.
Alright, so you see, look at this first house. It's raining really hard. You really can't hear a lot. You can make perceptions at the door, but right now it's just still.
Yeah, it is. I want to just do a general perception check. Obviously, it's hard to hear, I know, but like, if there's any like smells, for one thing, if I just smell like a cooking fire or food. The last place was like rotted with like corpses, or a corpse, I should say.
Smell the cow.
So any, yeah, smell the dead cow. Is there anything like that that kind of sticks out at first?
Go ahead and roll. Roll for it.
Okay. Roll a perception.
Yeah, while he's rolling, Theron's aura has been activated, so there's like a swirl of like earth that's surrounding him right now.
Heck yeah.
See, you're preparing the shield wall.
Oh yeah.
He kind of shuffles up next to you and kind of gets up next to you.
Hmm. Alright, what'd you roll, Evan?
Evan got a 17 perception.
Okay. Anybody else going to roll anything, or do you think what is?
Oh.
Corbinian's going to be looking at see if there are any windows that he could peer into.
On the front of the house, it does not appear, but there's some that might be on the sides.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to the sides.
Yeah, perception 20.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, his eyes are kind of darting around.
If you guys want to...
He's not familiar with around, the outside
If you guys want to move around the map, feel free to as well.
Sure.
The front door is closed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's getting up next to it.
Me too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I will follow Corbinian if he's looking for like another entrance.
Okay.
We have to bash this thing open.
So, as Theron heads up to the front door, Corbinian and Edmund kind of go around to the western side of the house to kind of see what's going on over there. In a puddle of rainwater near the front of the door, Theron finds a half of a cotton doll lying in the puddle.
Oh.
Its cloth is clearly ripped through with blunt force. A single button lay hanging loose, while the other is missing.
This is not the thing.
Corbinian, go ahead and roll a perception check on that window.
Alright. Ooh, I rolled. I did a throwback. I pulled out the dice away, and I got a 25.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. So from that window, the house is dark inside.
I do have low light vision.
Okay.
And I have my Everlight crystal, yeah.
You see in that window that it looks like light is coming in from the northern end of the house, because there appears to be a door open. And as you're looking in, it's dark, but you have pretty good vision.
Yeah.
You see something dart through the light and then out into the darkness again.
Oh, hold on. Just so you know, I have a +2 circumstance bonus when I'm looking for creatures that might be trying to hide.
It's particular.
Yep.
Okay.
So if I'm able to make out anything more from that.
It appeared to be a quadruped. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
It's just a cat.
How big?
Pretty big.
Pretty big.
Just a cat.
Not like large, but not a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Size of Labrador Retriever, maybe.
So, Corbinian is going to go back to the rest of the group. Think I saw something through the window. Looks like something crawling on all fours.
I think if we take it from the north and the south, we might be able to pincer it. Just crawling around, looked all creepy like.
I really think I'd prefer if we all walked in together, because I don't want those things to separate us. We don't know what the inside of that house looks like.
A little scared of a little bug or something, are you?
Yeah.
Look at him, lad. He's a wizard. Huh. Look at his arms.
That's,
it would bite through him.
That's really offensive. I'm going to write a very strongly worded letter.
Who are you going to write the letter to?
Him.
Or you'll be dead. Otherwise. I don't see the problem at all.
If you ask
if it's for Asma's will for me to die, then I'll die.
If you ask me, it'd be best if we keep the shield wall together. It's the strongest one, all in one place.
Yes, I agree. I will take point. And kind of, and in an action, he'll snap it, and earth will surround him as his armor comes back up.
Also, don't forget
to say the word.
You saw a door open on the other end of the, on the other end of the house.
The door is open on the north side, so if we don't close it off, then
let's say we enter,
escape.
Yeah, let's say we enter through the back then.
Yes, let's do that.
All right.
Well, then I'll go through the south then.
No, we're going through the north. So, because the door's already closed.
I'm pinging where the door is.
The door is... I don't know if you guys have explored it, yeah. That's the open door is, like, right... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you looked into...
I looked into the window on the...
Yeah, the
west.
Yeah, and it's the window to that same room.
Okay. But you said the door is wide open right now.
Yeah, okay. it's like half open.
He will do a perception check first. Just to...
You're looking into the open door?
Yes.
Alright, I'm gonna give it like a 5 count, and then I'm gonna open the south door.
Yeah, his dwarven eyes are adjusting to the darkness quite easily. 16. Let's see if he sees anything.
You hear scrounging coming from the room.
Oh, wait, I have dark vision.
Oh,
okay.
I'm an idiot. I forgot.
Yeah, we're dwarves. We can see in the dark.
Oh god. For some reason, with second edition, I know certain times you were like, dark vision, first edition.
Right.
Second edition, it was like, whoa.
You
kind
of like slowly open this door all the way. And inside, you see a boar scrounging through some scraps.
Oh no.
And
it looks at you.
No, like,
and it goes, and screeches. As you've startled it during its meal.
Again.
Go ahead, roll for initiative.
Again, we keep ruining meals.
Y'all, boars are party killers.
Oh, well, it's fine, because we can eat this. This one will kill it.
This is true. Kel, I'm getting ready to roll initiative. Is the window that I'm at, is that something that I could, like, target spells through?
It is a closed window. You'd have to open it.
It's a closed window.
You have to open it from the inside. Or break it.
Got it. Okay. I was thinking of a telekinetic projectile and just, like, picking up something in the room. But it says, that is within range and that has one bulk or less at the target. So as long as something is within 30 feet in the room, would I be able to make the attack, or does it need to be, like, within?
I would say you have to take an action to smash one of the window panes.
Okay, that's totally fine. Okay. Alright.
Cuts himself.
You're looking into... another thing you see in this kitchen is a huge pile of dried blood on the floor, so don't worry about the window.
Oh, got it.
Alright. Edmund, what'd you get?
13.
13. Not 123.
I can do that.
Half iron, what'd you get?
11.
11.
Turn it up to 11.
Corvinian, what'd you get?
19.
And Theron, what'd you get?
12.
Alright. Cool. Then it is Corbidian's turn.
Alright, Corbidian, first action, open the door. Boop. I see the boar. Yep,
you can see straight into the kitchen. The door to the kitchen is also open.
Yep. Exactly 30 feet.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to launch out a divine lance.
Not my boar.
Tim is notoriously good at this.
Notoriously good. Like, I'm famous, might even say.
Famous for his divine lances.
Famous. And my fame precedes me with a 13.
There we go.
I think Tim missed the infamous part of famous.
Yeah, your lance blasts into the kitchen with a big bright light, but the boar is too short. He misjudged how big it is.
Well, it's rather a dark purple, if you will.
All right.
A deep purple.
Deep purple. For
and I raise my shield, and I call it that.
All right. Okay, the boar sees Theron and another huge dude sitting outside. These two big-ass dwarves. And squeals, and then runs to the south.
I knew it. You're going to charge me, boar charge. Insta-kill.
I mean,
what's this?
I understand.
What's this guy's speed? Oh, wow, he's got good, great speed. All right, so he gets to you in a...
I was about to say he's a
boar. He gets to you in a single action.
They're dangerously quick, in fact.
And
like, in real life, too. Yeah. Terrifying in real life.
Yeah, he gets to you in a single action, and he is going to... He's actually just kind of body slam. So, he's going to roll in athletics.
Wait, that has like a 20% chance to paralyze me, right?
Usually, yeah.
No, but it is a natural 20.
Oh, no!
Actually, it's going to.
No!
So this thing comes charging at you, and fortunately it doesn't go to gore you, but it does shove you back 10 feet. And it moves with you, and then it takes off down the road.
Okay.
Counter.
And now it is Edmund's turn.
Okay.
Edmund, roll a perception check.
Yeah. All right,
hold on. You see the boar come charging out of the house and squealing down the road off into town.
Yeah. 19? Do I see where this thing went?
You see clear as day. It comes into your vision, runs away. I mean, it's fog, it's rainy, but you see enough. It's making a bunch of noise. You hear rustling inside the house still. Like back of the house. You hear the sound of startling.
Okay, so I see the boar run, and then I hear that, and I go, "That's not the only one. Get inside." I am going to I'm going to run to Corbinian now. Be like, "Oh fuck, buddy, you okay? You okay, man?"
I'm fine. The yoke took off down the road.
That's not our only problem. That's not our only problem. And then I will take point just to the side of him, so I kind of have an angle into the house to see if anything kind of comes out this way as well.
Okay. Half iron. Oh, no, Theron. Sorry.
Theron. I was gonna say it's Theron.
I was like, what? All right. So
but does Theron have a giant D20?
Yeah, I noticed that.
I don't know.
Special.
Oh, maybe it's because I have you as like the act. Just turn it in, I guess.
I don't know.
It's whatever.
So Theron sees this boar run, just kind of breathes a sigh of relief. Like, as soon as he saw it, I was just full. Okay. But after hearing Edmund run along the side of the house, he's in trouble inside his house. And takes his first move action to move in 10 feet. Because he's wearing the armor, so he's stupidly heavy.
Okay.
So second move action here.
Okay. So far, as you're still in the kitchen. The kitchen is a total mess. There's a giant bloodstain on the floor. Another very odd thing that you see is right to the south of the window that Edmund was looking into, you see a bunch of, like, unearthed dirt. Like, it's, like, you just see, like, a bunch of disturbed earth. That's a...
Like, underneath the window, like, inside the house?
Like, yeah, like, through the floorboards.
Oh.
Oh.
Wait. Can I make a guess?
Yeah.
I think a zombie crawled up from the dirt under the house.
That's possible.
I think with this...
Like, somebody died and was buried here. So who knows how long ago?
And was resurrected.
Yeah.
And just burst through. So, and final action, he's going to move in this room.
Okay.
And take point, basically. I mean, he has his mace out in one hand, and he has his armor on, so.
Okay.
Scared enough.
Did you check the kitchen for chicken pot pie?
I didn't smell any.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
With your dark...
And if anything, the boar ate it.
With your dark vision, you see something in the far bedroom. Through the other open door, you see another boar that looks like it's all panicked in that room. Just like it was in there eating something. And you have started with it. And it is the half iron turn.
Half iron will follow Theron into the building, taking two actions to get up alongside him, and then we'll form the shield wall here. He'll shuffle up next to Theron and say, "Form the shield wall," and he'll throw up his shield and we'll cast a rune on his shield to improve his AC.
Okay, is that your turn?
That's my turn.
Alright. It is... that boar's turn as it
Jesus
and it
oh
and it Ooh. It looks through the door and it sees that you guys are between its exit between it and its exit and it is going to charge the boar charge at the half iron.
No.
And it did move.
Oh man.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, it
Uh-oh.
The boar gore.
Oh, you're lucky. It only moved 15 feet, so it doesn't get the plus 2 to this attack.
Nice.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. I was wondering.
But it's still going to go up. It's going to try to gore you. That's only going to be 21 to hit.
Miss. Shield raised.
Nice.
It's going to try to gore... Just gonna try to gore Theron this time. Miss. So this thing's just panicked. It's swinging and swirling and pissed off. But luckily, you guys didn't bear the brunt of that natural 20.
That gore, yeah. He's lucky the natural 20 was just a shove.
Yep.
Right.
And it is Corbinian's turn.
Corbidian is going to try to Divine Lance that one.
Okay. From where you are, it's going to get a little bit... It's going to get a little cover from where it is.
Yeah, cracked eye, thankfully. Well, actually, no. It's between a 14 and a 4, so... Hey, down 20! Yeah!
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Sick little...
That's what Timmy always imagined when he cast...
That's right. That's what I always
sick
imagine.
Little spell crit. Let's go.
Uh-huh. And I get to use this nice little arrow D4, courtesy of Black Oak Workshop, where dice are treasure.
Alright.
You're breaking out the cards?
Breaking out the cards.
Sweet.
Just wait for the crit to be like... teleports to Plane of Fire.
Alright.
The Plane of Fire smells like bacon for a second.
Of course it's this one. Go ahead and roll your double damage first. Then I'll tell you what it is.
Okay,
so
14 points of, I think it's spirit damage.
That's double?
Yep, that's doubled.
Alright, it takes some damage as your purple bolt flies through the doorway, illuminates the room, and it strikes this boar clear in the gut. And it wrenches out in pain. It goes, "Arr!" And then, like, you see its body, like, fade into, like, another plane, and it becomes incorporeal, and you can't even hear it anymore.
You phased it.
It's still there. You can like see it, but it is incorporeal.
What?
Yep.
Oh God! All right.
This boar is very confused, very scared.
Half Iron just looks to.
We're all confused.
Half Iron just looks out the window. And, what in the name of the gods did you do?
Well, I think I tried to send it to straight to Phrasma, but it doesn't look like it's ready to go yet.
It's definitely not in the boneyard.
Finish business, I guess.
Well, you've got one more action.
I do. I really can't do anything. I really can't do anything. I don't think I have any fun one action things. Nope. So I'm just going to raise my shield.
All right, Edmund. You see this incorporeal boar through the wind in there.
It's incorporeal.
It's we can't hit it, right?
Yeah, because I was gonna
magic, do a right.
I mean, what does a telekinetic projectile?
That's a magic? Physical object. You don't have any other cantrips.
Do you have any energy?
None of them I want to use.
Not what was it, conjure fire or whatever it is now?
Well, I didn't prep those. Let me say that. No, I guess I'll just hold until it's clearly corporeal again.
I don't know what to fucking do. Fortunately, your light is beaming in there, so you have no problem seeing it.
Yeah.
You're a human, right?
Yes, yeah. Fully human, okay, yeah.
So, that's definitely helpful for you.
Yep.
Alright, an incorporeal creature or object has no physical form. It can pass through solid objects, including walls. When inside an object, an incorporeal creature can't perceive, attack, or interact with anything outside the object. And if it starts to turn an object, it's still at one. Let's see. Can't do strength checks or any strength-based checks. Let's see. Unless there's ghost touch involved. Incorporeal creatures usually have immunity to effects or conditions that require a physical body, like disease, poison, or precision damage. They have resistance against all damage except force. Okay.
It says resistance, not immunity. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's so true.
At a level 3 character, which is like, 4 damage, 2 damage.
Do we have a monk in the party that can get past it?
No.
Well, you gotta ask.
Well, it's Theron's turn.
Okay. So seeing this odd display of a incorporeal boar, it's kind of just sitting there. That's the thing I'm trying to figure out, because he might be able to hit it because of his kineticist abilities. Okay, so first he's going to move. 2 move actions to get here, or 1 move action to get here, 10 feet. I don't know, like...
You're not flanking with Jed.
Yeah, flanking. So he's going to do something called an impulse attack. Which is one of the Kinesis abilities, which allows me to attack and use one of from my aura, which is fire and earth. So one of them I like conjure into my free hand because I have a mace in my right hand, and so my left hand I take one out. And I guess fire. Yeah. Oh no, earth. Earth should hit a lot harder anyway. So he's going to hit with her earth. Elemental blast.
Okay.
18 to hit.
18 hits.
Okay. And that is a 1d8 earth damage. So 6 points of damage. So it's probably 3 points of damage.
Okay.
That was one action. And final action, from this where he is now, like, does he seem... Is there anything else in this room? Just curious. Like, where the boar ran from.
Nothing but a pile of scraps.
Okay. He was just double-checking to make sure there wasn't anything that bastard put behind. Sure. Why not? He'll do an art elemental blast. This time, fire. He's like, Earth didn't do that much. He'll do fire. Multiple attack penalty, which is... Oh, still 19 to hit. I rolled actually fairly well on that.
Nice.
That's it.
But fire's only a 1d6, so unless I roll... 2 points of damage. Roll to 5, so...
Alright.
Well, it seems to make this a little bit more difficult than one is the.
Alright, and it's the Half Iron's turn.
Alright, the Half Iron will raise his shield and trace another rune on his shield at the same time he's fortifying Nog. This time tracing a different rune. And then he will take his second action to invoke that rune. This rune is called... Oh, gosh. They all have a weird name at the beginning, and I don't know how to pronounce any of them yet. Olenek's Rune of Coward's Bane. This rune resembles this a class. Broken arrow. While the shield is raised, it also grants the bearer a +1 status bonus to AC against physical range attacks. Don't care about that. Not going to be helpful. What is going to be helpful is the invocation that I use my second action for. The rune creates an illusion in the minds of all creatures adjacent to the rune bearer for the last that lasts for one round. The illusion is a large, impassable wall blocking all paths away from the rune bearer. The creature affected by this invocation cannot willingly move further away from the rune bearer for one round until it disbelieves the illusion by using a seek action against your class DC.
Ooh,
so it thinks it's like stuck.
It thinks it's surrounded by walls, dang. But he can. I'm in the wall, but he can't see anything else around outside of that.
Huh. All right.
And he kind of like locks his shield, points the spear at him, and goes, "You know, come to daddy." and with his last all action, right. He will go ahead and try to do a tracing strike. I know is he still in Corporum, right?
He is.
I don't know if it's going to do anything, but I'll try an embraded strike and see what happens. Oh, it's only going to be a 17 to hit.
That's it.
Oh, cool. All right, so he will do... Let's see, D6s. Sorry. All right, so it's going to be... Ooh, max damage, 9 points of piercing, and he has a rune on him now. So on his turn, he will take 1d4 lightning since he can't go anywhere. Because he doesn't move.
Alright.
Setting up dominoes.
Okay, it comes to the boar's turn. So this boar is trapped in a box with you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So in order to move away from you, it has to...
Roll to disbelieve the
roll a will save.
It's a I believe it's a seek action to disbelieve against my class DC. So I guess that would
be willful board.
Okay. Well, first it's going to try to strike you.
Okay.
It would have hit, but it's incorporeal, so it swings its tusks. They go straight through your body. And then this thing gets freaked out, and it is going to try to run away from you. It's going to roll a will save.
I don't know what the seek... I think it's a seek action he needs to take.
It's a seek action. Yeah.
So it's a perception against my class DC, which is 17. So.
Okay. It's a perception on this little bastard.
It might be actually very high.
Yeah.
This animal.
Yeah.
Where is your perception? Oh, there it is. Right in front of me. Oh. Nailed it with a 19 on the die.
Dang.
Whoop. So, it disbelieves you.
I don't care.
It is broken from this thing.
I don't care what you say. That wall right there is not real.
Yes, the boar screams, "That wall's not real!"
And then we all look at the wall in unison. What?
It's surrounded by the two dwarves. There's people shooting it from the outside. it's going to try to jump through the window right next to it, and as it does, it simply phases through the window.
Nice.
Oh my god.
No property damage.
So it phases through the window doesn't break, and you see it just continue. It tries to jump over the fence. It clearly can't make the jump, but it phases through the fence anyway. So it stumbles, it incorporeally stumbles through the fence, and then just takes off into the wilderness.
Be a very emboldened boar when it becomes king. And that, it goes back to normal.
Yeah, and as you see it pass through the fence, you see it become corporeal again as it disappears.
Oh, nice. It wasn't even lasting that long.
Well, yeah, it was only until Corbinian's turn.
I mean, I'd just like to think that it's now like, oh, I can go through walls now, and then it tries it again, and it just bashes right into it.
All right. So that's the end of combat. The boars were terrified, and they ran off. So you can continue to investigate the house. I'll tell you right now, there's not really anything in it. There's a couple of wares, just like normal wares. It looks like the place is thrown apart. Like, there was clearly activity here. You saw the huge pile of blood. You did not find a body.
Yeah.
But there was a big pool of dried blood in the kitchen, and there was also what looked like a caved-in hole in the ground.
Okay.
And if you investigate it further, that you confirm it is definitely... It looks like something burrowed up here. It has since collapsed completely.
Is the rest of that doll in here by chance? Like the doll that you mentioned in the beginning? Okay.
No. You only have the half of this doll.
It looks like there's some sort of stall thing out back.
Yeah, it was just like a pen. Okay. They probably had chickens or something. Okay. Chickens, or maybe they even had pigs.
But there's no signs of dead animals or anything.
Mm-mm. Interesting. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, place seems like it was cleaned out.
There's not much more to see in here.
These are like common folk, but like their common folk valuables are still out and about. Mm-hmm. Does it look like they took anything with them? Like clothes are missing, or I mean, there's a doll that was tore apart, but does it look like they left in a hurry?
Get it. It looks like it was quickly abandoned.
Okay. Mm.
The kitchen is where the most mess is.
Yeah.
But it looks like they left.
Could we do a survival check, perhaps? Because I just realized I am trained in survival.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case, to see, trying to re-envision how this could have went down. I mean, if it's just for flavor anyway, he's just trying to put this together. Something seems way off.
What'd you get?
I'm trying to roll, and it's not rolling. 16.
Yeah, you don't really glean too much more information. Clearly, the most struggle happened in the kitchen. You can't even you can tell that there was probably more people in the house when this fighting might have been occurring, because the living room looks like there was commotion there. There's no big blood piles.
Yeah,
but you can see a couple of spats of blood in the living room as well. Like, maybe there was something going on, or maybe somebody was bleeding when they walked through here. But there's also, food scraps all over the house from the boars dragging shit around.
Yeah.
Struggle.
If it doesn't look like there's any, clues we can gather here, I definitely want to make our way to the next location.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. The terrible thing about all of this is it's bucketing rain out here. No tracks or nothing.
Thing I wanted to bring up. It's raining really hard, and none of you actually have good rain gear.
I left my
mechanically, this rain could set in early fatigue. So I think it would be over the course of potentially hours, if you are exploring this town and you are drenched, it's going to weigh on you. It's going to wear you down. So. Yeah. Something I would keep an eye out for is something that could protect you from the rain.
Hmm. Like, do we find anything useful? Like, for example, do I come across a pair of wellies or something?
Sadly, no. You do not come across any good rain gear here.
Okay.
There are a couple more houses. I'm clearing some of the vision for you guys.
Sure. While you're doing that, I do have prestidigitation. So I could... It says tidy is one of the things. So it says color, clean, or soil. Obviously not doing that.
It says clean.
Yeah, it says clean. So it, does that fall under, like, drying something, Kel? Would you say that?
I would say so, but you'd have to be doing it constantly to all four of you.
Maybe we could just do it periodically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So just, like, every hour or so.
I would say it could help you out a bit while you look for something.
Okay. Yeah. Alright.
Moving a little bit into town more, you're kind of centered in a cluster of a couple more what look like vacant houses. And the manor comes more into view up towards the northern end of town. So do you guys want to go into the next one of these next houses? Do you want to go to the manor?
Yeah, as much as I want to go right for the manor, I don't want something in these houses to come up behind us.
Yep.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and like we're also trying to look for that book too. And we know that Jokra didn't live necessarily in the manor house, so Jokra was probably in one of these houses. So we can't necessarily leave any stone unturned.
Yep. Door unopened. Book unchecked.
Right, you go into the next house.
Right.
And you again... In this one, there isn't anything. The door again was wide open. You do some perception checks. It's silent.
Is it like the same thing? Is there something like the floorboards were destroyed or something? And like
yes, dirt? at this house. So I'm gonna say it's this house right here.
Yeah.
You guys actually find what looks like the front door was really heavily barricaded and smashed through. The barricade didn't hold.
Ooh.
Inside. You find more big blood puddles, and then in the corner of the house, in the corner of the house near one of the walls, you see yet another burrow collapsed. So this house, somebody clearly tried to fortify this thing, and didn't go well.
Yeah, they just came inside, like from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Can I? I mean,
does the burrow look? It was coming from outside to in.
It kind of just like came up like, no. It came up through the floor.
Okay.
It was just like near one of the exterior walls.
Okay. We have an inkling based on, you know, our general society knowledge about the Whispering Tyrant and the Undead Scourge. Could I like roll a religion to see if I've heard of anything like resurrection of buried dead people that could be happening here, but like something that could resurrect a burial ground, or if there's a burial ground here even, or something like
that. Yeah, was this actually a burial
ground? Yeah, I was, a few things with that too. So I also have a lore last wall. I just said city, and I was like, yeah, I'm all about last wall, so I know that stuff. Anyway, I also wanted to do detect magic as we're walking through. Because I just have that as an innate spell. Because of the fact that there's so much missing and there's, like, so many details just, like, not showing up, I want to do detect magic constantly just to see if I'm covering even things that are, like, hidden or unseen.
Yep. You don't see any magic in this house. You go into a third house, and it's a very similar scene. You see blood. You see defenses that were broken up. You don't see any magic. And you're not finding any bodies, of course.
Right.
Mm. You go into this house, another hole. More blood. More barricades. No bodies.
Yeah.
It's like a singular creature or a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're saying undead, like, again, if you don't know if it's like a graveyard or something, or used to be one, that it could just be a creature that is like a subterranean creature.
That's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jake, did you want to roll last wall?
Yeah. This is like an adjacent area and stuff like that. So if there,
this place, this town is basically on the border.
Yeah,
Belkson and last wall.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, even if there's some clue, like, some kind of iconography or something like that that would sort of indicate something, yeah, I do want to roll lore last roll. What's my bonus is the question. Got it. Natural one.
You don't know shit.
I don't know shit.
Yeah, you think that there was... You've heard legend of burrowing creatures that lurked in Last Wall, but you're not sure that they survived the Whispering Tyrant's attack. You're not sure if they were part of his attack, but you've heard of like subterranean creatures that take people unsuspectingly.
Oh, fuck. Guys, fuck. Wait. Moles. It's all moles.
It's all moles.
It's moles all moles. The way down. Moles all the way down.
I just imagine Half Iron with like the slow head turn, just kind of staring at him.
Yeah, we're just all.
He looks over at Theron and I know mechanically, your dwarf has some backstory, but I don't know how much I will reveal here. But Half Iron will look at the other dwarf and be like, "Have you ever seen anything like this before?"
Is that something? I mean, right off the cuff, I would say no. Due to where he was from, I mean, tunneling creatures were a thing, but like, I don't know, what type of check would you even do in this case, Kelly?
There's not really much to go off of. I think the mole theory is probably the best thing you've got to go on. You see Edmund there. He's got one cigarette in his mouth. He's got another one in his hand. He's like Ben Affleck standing outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking but... moles, man. Fucking moles.
Yeah, but Theron, he's kind of thinking about it. Well, I've never had to deal with things. We had some creatures, but they were tunneling through stone most of the time.
Half iron. It's like, my experience has always been on ships and boats. I mean, this land stuff is still relatively new to me.
Likewise, the surface is quite unappealing to me, to be honest. And he kind of like probably the first house where he saw like the half torn. It was kind of like when he's looking at everything. He's just kind of like he's taking inventory, but he's kind of solemn the entire time. He's not a happy dwarf, really, from what his job was. So he's just seeing all this, and like he's immediately thinking, "Oh, it's undead. It's probably undead." But try not to jump to conclusions immediately.
Right. Half Iron is searching household goods for any mead or alcohol he can find that was left behind.
Did they leave any booze? Yes.
Did they?
Can I roll a set? Can I roll a fine booze?
Yeah, you can roll a fine booze.
Oh, sick.
Roll ancestry.
Oh, natural 17 for a 24. Do I find booze?
Do you find booze? Let's see. Do you find booze? Okay. In that third house you went in, you open a cupboard and you find one half-drunk bottle of anise blueberry liquor.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Cool.
Nice.
Some sweet stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we passing around bevies now?
I will take a sip and pass it around.
I feel like that's something we do in one of the houses. Like, once we're done, we're just like, well, it's pouring down rain.
Yeah. Like we also, houses, you can find a little bit. You can find cloth and stuff to, like, dry yourselves off with the prestidigitation. Try to keep yourself as dry as possible, because as soon as you go outside, it's like you jumped in a swimming pool. It's raining that hard.
Mm, yeah, I think that's probably our little ritual. As we get into a house, Edmund prestidigitations up,
Half Iron looks for liquor.
we pass it around to warm up and then we move on.
Yeah.
Every time.
Next house, we do the same exact thing.
You guys go into this fourth house. The front door again is ajar. Looks like there was a little bit of barricading done here. And you're exploring this house, and the back room of this house has a door to a back room, and it is barricaded inside.
Not open.
Oh. Okay.
So there's a house that looks like it's still barricaded.
The front door was barricaded, but smashed through, and the door was open. But when you go inside, one of the interior rooms is barricaded from the outside.
I'm wondering if they barricaded it
in
to keep someone safe inside,
or a zombie came through the floorboards,
and they tried to lock him in a room.
Yeah,
they try to lock it.
Yeah. It could.
All right, can we knock? Could we just be? Oh, well, just be like, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'll,
no response.
I'll tap my spear on the barricade, like ding 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 ding.
So we all stand behind him at a distance.
Yeah.
Shield up.
Yeah, like
shield raised.
We'll
yeah. On, so.
Everybody, roll perception.
Ooh, here we go.
15. Not good at those, Edmund. Not good at those at all, buddy.
17 for Carbinian.
Yeah. 17 as well.
20 for the half iron.
Okay. You guys don't hear anything.
Perhaps if someone's alive back there, they're keeping quiet because they do not trust. What's actually been bothering me is that these doors have been barricaded like they were expecting an attack. So, was this village already under siege from something else? And just because that's actually a line of thought I was thinking of, I was like, that they had enough time to build a barricade
for right.
the door, which means that there was a warning.
Right.
Yeah.
But...
Detect magic in there? Do I sense anything?
Do you sense anything? No. Do not.
Okay.
I don't know if we just go closer and closer to the door until we bash it open. I mean, from the...
I say we just start taking down the barricade and see what's inside.
We could do that.
Try put your hand under the door, see what happens.
Oh, that actually is... Is there a gap underneath the door?
You'd have to move the barricade.
Damn. Okay, that's a thick-ass barricade. No, because I was thinking, I was like, you could just take anything, like if it's a zombie or something, like mindless, and you just shove like a pole underneath and just start wiggling it. They'll be like,
just take a cattail.
Now this room, did we see any like windows into it from the outside?
That's what I was thinking too. I was like,
you could go look around.
Okay, I'll go with my light source and go see if there's like another way into that room, perhaps.
I'll go. Half Iron will go with you for protection reasons.
Thanks, bro.
Yes. Yeah, he was about to suggest that.
Keep your cigarette lit. He'll hold a shield over your head.
I have a big old hat. I'm good.
That's true. That's true.
He has a big floppy hat.
I fucked up my map. Alright. I'm gonna take some liberties here, okay?
Sure. It is your game to run.
Who wants to look at windows?
I went outside to go see if there was any other way into that room, like via a window or something.
And I'm letting him. I'm letting him look, and I'm just basically his bodyguard. I'm protecting him. I'm looking for things that could attack him.
Corbinian, what are you doing?
So I don't think anything's gonna happen inside.
Theron's going to stay on the inside, because if this door needs to come down or something like that, then he's just going to kick it down.
You're staying on the inside?
Yeah, I'm thinking if, because, I mean, if someone tries to run out, like, what if it's also someone to protect somebody, and they're being quiet because, again, they don't trust us. They have no idea who the hell we are.
Yeah, which is fair. That's fair.
And the barricade is right here where I'm thinking.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. So if I go, yeah, so if we go outside and then we go around to the back.
Oh. Also, it helps because, I mean, Jed has dark vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he could easily see.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Okay.
On that corner of the house, you see a heavily barricaded window.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Can I see anything inside of it, like through the cracks of the boards, or is it completely sealed?
It's dark. Sealed. Okay. Can't really see anything.
Okay. I suppose we have to get rid of these barricades. If anything.
But the barricades are up, so they're safe, whoever's in there. Like, nobody's gone. It doesn't look like anyone has gone in or out of that room.
Yeah, but if someone's in there, they could give us information.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. So
that's what I'm saying. Information is what we need.
Okay. I want to go. So I'll go in, and then we will report to the rest of the party that it looks like whoever is in there is safe. So let's try to just tell them, "Hey, we're here. Is anybody in there that needs help?" Who was the best charisma to like?
Oh, not me.
Not me. Oh my god!
I have a plus one.
Please. Someone else.
I do have diplomacy. I actually trained that.
I don't.
Intimidation.
I don't have anything. Honestly, I have a negative one in charisma.
I got a 12, so I'm probably like, all right, then we're just going to start tearing down the barricade. We're friends and all.
And he'll tear down the barricade. I mean,
okay, you start tearing down the barricade, and you actually do hear a little bit of shuffling from inside.
Well, stop.
Yeah. It's like as soon as he hears it, he pauses.
I shuffle through my bag, and I take out a granola bar, and I can I shove it? Can I shove it under the door yet?
Yeah, if you clear enough barricade,
okay,
you can kind of crack the door open.
Crack the door open. All right, shield raised. Shoot my dagger out. All right.
Yeah, all right. So you want to get it open enough to get a granola bar through, right?
Right. So
I'm just thinking it's a nature valley, so he opens it up and just turns into powder.
Like, just crumbles to dust.
Yeah. So, for the map's sake, so Edmund is in front of the door then. I just want to make sure that we all know that's happening.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Yeah, well, he was in front tearing it down, but as soon as he started, told to stop.
Kelly's probably just like, open the door if you want to go in.
I go,
I will kick this door down.
No, wait. All right, so when it's opened up a little bit, he'll very, very gently, like, poke a granola bar in the crack of the door.
What are you doing?
Don't worry about it. And I just poke it in, just, hey, if you're hungry, this is a little granola bar, it's good protein. 20 grams of protein in there.
There's a pause, silence, and then, through the crack of the door, a rotted hand reaches through and tries to grab you.
Yes,
let's go. As it tries to shove the door open with the cleared barricade. And we'll see you next time.
Oh, no!
I guess he didn't want the granola bar.
Wasted a perfectly good granola bar.
He wanted what's attached to the granola bar.
I will make you roll to see if you lose the granola bar.
No! In your hand.
Hey there, friends and family. Jake, the GM here, to once again talk about Misty Mountain Gaming. They have a new Kickstarter coming out called Biome Dice. These are dice that correspond to four of the different ecosystems. There's desert, ocean, rainforest, and tundra. They're super cute. They have all the fun little animals on there that you'll love to see on your dice. Make sure to go check them out. MistyMountainGaming.com, and make sure at checkout to use Dragon Punch Squad for 10% off your entire order. See you in the next episode.